Let me pray as we look at the Bible. We're going to look at that passage, John 10, verses 1 to 10. If you've got that in your Bibles, keep it open. But let's ask that God would speak. Lord, thank you so much for this church family. Thank you so much that you're a God who wants to speak to us right now. Thank you that you're so clear. You're so clear in what we need to do to be welcomed into your family. And we pray, Lord, that we'd be strengthened by this truth and assured of your love, and that you'd speak to us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I wonder this morning, have you ever thought of a creative way of getting into this building? What about through the roof? There's a biblical precedent for it. Kind of breaking through this lovely roof and coming in this way. Of course, you could do it. You could abseil down. You could probably drop to the floor, be absolutely fine. But of course, that's the wrong way into the building, isn't it? The way in is through the door. You get in the building through the door. Now, that's more complicated at All Saints because we've got lots of doors. But basically, you come in through the door. That's how you get into the church building. But the question this morning is not about how I physically get into church, into a building. The question this morning is, how do I spiritually become a member of God's people, the church that is saved from hell to heaven? How do I know that I'm heading for heaven? How do I get saved? And Jesus is utterly clear. He's just doesn't pull any punches. He's utterly clear about the way into the kingdom of God. And it's totally unpolitically correct. But it's the truth. Have a look at it in our passage. It's John chapter 10, verse 9. What does Jesus say? He says, I am the door. I am the door. I am the way in. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Jesus is utterly clear, utterly clear. I'm the way. I am the door. That's total clarity, isn't it? In a very befuddled world and culture. He is the gate. He is the door, the way in. Walk this way on the door marked Jesus and you'll be saved for heaven. Now, why does Jesus say that at this point in John's gospel? There's a context to this. Well, he's telling us his truth because of the confusion of the religious leaders of the day. There are many religious people in our world who are well-intentioned but utterly confusing and unclear. And that was true in the day when Jesus walked on the earth. The religious leaders, we see chapter 10, verse 1, he's addressing people. Truly, truly, I say to you. Who's the you? Well, it's the bunch of religious leaders in chapter 9. That's who he's speaking to. He's speaking to the Pharisees. You see, in chapter 9, Jesus just healed a man born blind. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. He's healed a man born blind. It's a miracle. And the Pharisees can't cope with it. They can't cope with what Jesus has done. They cannot accept this guy really was blind in the first place. And when he keeps saying that Jesus is the one who made him see, they won't accept it. They say, how can a sinner like Jesus ever make anyone to see? It's just a joke. And they get so cross with this guy who says that Jesus changed my life. Do you know what they do? They throw him out. They throw him out of the religious community, the synagogue. You're going to follow Jesus, they say, out. They throw him out. Because the Pharisees, the religious, will not accept that Jesus is God, that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the way to heaven. They'll not accept the work of God in this blind guy's life. It's transformed his life. But verse 34 of chapter 9, they kick him out. It says, and they cast him out. What a crazy thing to do. A foolish thing to do. These guys are so religious, so respectable in society, and yet in their religious leadership, it leads people away from Jesus and not to him. Oh, what a massive mistake. Jesus says, I am the gate. I am the door, the way to salvation. And they do not lead people to Jesus. In fact, if you're going to follow Jesus in their books, out. You're out of our community, you're out of our religious gang, you're not in. And that's why Jesus uses this allegory, this picture, to challenge the religious leaders of the day. He talks about a sheepfold and shepherds and gates and thieves and robbers. And the easy way for us to understand this passage this morning is just two headings, really. The first one is this, there's a warning. There's a warning. As Jesus rebukes these Pharisees, he's warning us, okay? There's a warning, verses 1 to 8, and we're going to see in 9 and 10 a great promise. Very easy. You can lie in bed tonight and think, a warning, a promise, and try and remember what we thought about today from the Bible. The warning. And the warning comes to us in a rebuke to the Pharisees. I never forget when I started teaching. I was a rookie teacher, 21, teaching in Islington. And foolishly, I had this like cleaning solution in a gun. And I didn't put it away. I left it out on a table. Of course, the kids came in. They see a gun. One kid gets the bleach and squirts it in another child's eyes. Oh, I know what a rookie teacher I was. Disaster. I mean, I was just dying. What should I do? What do I do? I washed her eyes. I had to come clean with the headmaster. I said, look, I've just made this terrible mistake. That cleaning fluid should have been away. It was out. And this kid, he's very naughty, called Johnny. I always remember their names. Johnny. He's probably in prison now. Johnny. Little Johnny. And he got the gun and he squirted it into this girl, Rebecca's eyes. And thankfully she had glasses on, but some got inside the glasses. Anyway, her eyes were fine. But the headmaster made a meal of it. He told me off in front of the whole staff, which is absolutely right. What a stupid guy I was. He gathered the staff team the next morning for briefing. He said, Mr. Rees, made a huge mistake yesterday that I need to warn you about. He foolishly left the bleach out and it got squirted in someone's eyes. Wonderfully, she's okay. So his rebuke of me was a warning for the rest of the staff team. I felt this, I'm not very big anyway, I felt this small. I felt this small. I never did it again. Maybe that's why I left teaching, so scarred. That little girl, praise God, she can see. But that's what's going on in this chunk here. This warning comes out of a rebuke. They're being told off, but he's warning us through it, like the headmaster's telling me off and warning the rest of the staff, don't mess with the bleach. And can you see how Jesus describes the Pharisees in verse 1? Let's have a look at it. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. Jesus is saying that these Pharisees are thieves and robbers. That's what he's saying. You're like thieves and robbers. They were the religious leaders, and yet he's calling them thieves and robbers. Not very flattering. And he's calling them thieves and robbers because they are stealing Jesus from people. They're stealing Jesus from people. They are robbing people of the Saviour, Jesus. They will not accept that Jesus is from God, the one God promised would come and set people free. Instead, they call the perfect Son of God a sinner in chapter 9. And they reject anyone who follows him. The healed man, as we said, was thrown out. And Jesus says the religious leaders are thieves and robbers who rob people of Jesus. A sheep pen would have been a familiar idea in those days. They'd been everywhere around the town, like a tall stone wall. And there'd be a high wall around it, and there'd be a gatekeeper guarding the gate. That was the image that they would understand and see. And they'd have known as people there's one right way to get into that sheepfold, that pen, and that's through the gate. That's how you get in, past the gatekeeper, into the gate. So if they saw anybody climbing over the top, they knew they were up to no good. That's not the way into the sheepfold. You go through the gate. That's how you get in. If you climb over, you're a dodgy boiler. You're up to no good. And that's what Jesus is saying about these people. They're trying to get into the kingdom of God. That's the picture of this sheepfold by a different way. They were there. These religious leaders, these shepherds of God people, were supposed to be looking after the people of God. Well, what should true shepherds do according to Jesus? Well, when it comes to getting into the sheepfold, they go through the gate. That's verse 2, isn't it? But he who enters by the door, the gate, is the shepherd of the sheep. The legit shepherd of the sheep will go the right way through the gate. That's the way in. That's the point he's making. That's how a true shepherd of God's people should act. But Jesus is saying, that's not what you religious leaders are doing. You're a bunch of bandits. You're like thieves and robbers. You're rejecting the gate. You're rejecting the way into the kingdom. And as Jesus rebukes them and warns them, they don't get what he's saying. Look at verse 6. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So he makes it utterly clear. Verses 7 and 8. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. Jesus is saying, I am the door of the sheep. I'm the way to get into heaven. And actually, people have told you there's another way apart through God's King, through the Messiah, through the way that God has made. They are thieves and robbers. It's a way of discerning truth from error, isn't it, that Jesus gives us here? Notice the true shepherd, he enters the right way, verse 2. The gatekeeper knows him, verse 3. The sheep know his voice, and he calls them by name, and he leads them out. He goes before them, verse 4, and they follow him, for they know the voice of the true shepherds. It's not true of the false shepherds who are pushing Jesus away. As Jesus rebukes these leaders, he teaches us, doesn't he? And he warns us. A true shepherd of God's people will lead you to Jesus. Not to themselves, not to more rules and religion, not some homemade theology they've thought up. The point is this, that even today, there are religious leaders like the Pharisees in the church who call themselves Christians, who are actually thieves and robbers because they do not lead people to Jesus, the gate, and his gospel of grace and the call to repent and believe. As we see Jesus rebuke these Pharisees, we see Jesus warning us today, don't we? We must not follow Christian leaders blindly. We must not follow leaders unthinkingly. Does the leader, the minister, lead you to Jesus? Do they point away from themselves to him as he reveals himself to us through the Bible? There's much talk about Jesus in our denomination right now, which is great. But what sort of Jesus are they talking about? That's what you've got to ask yourselves. You need to listen. Is it the one revealed to us in the power of the Spirit through the Word of God? Is it the Jesus who is holy and calls us to holiness and repentance and from sin? Sin defined by the Bible and not the culture? Is it the Jesus who bore our sins on the cross to pay the price for us to get into heaven by grace? So that we can know for sure that we're saved. Is the Jesus people teach the one who saves by grace? Keeps by grace, who calls us in view of God's grace and mercy to give our whole lives to him. A rebuke to them is a warning to us. J.C. Ryle was a bishop of Liverpool. He writes fantastic commentaries on the Gospels. He puts it so well, let me quote him to you. Jesus condemns the Jewish teachers. There was no door in their ministry. They taught nothing rightly about the Messiah. The minister who makes much of Christ is a pastor after God's own heart. The minister who makes little of Christ is one whom God regards as an impostor, as one who has climbed up into his holy office, not by the door, but by some other way. Unconverted ministers are the dry rot of the church, he says. When the blind lead the blind, both must fall into the ditch. If we know the value of a man's ministry, we must never fail to ask, where is the lamb in your ministry? Where is the door? Does he bring forward Christ and give him the rightful place or not? A rebuke that warns us. A warning for all the sheep of God's flock. Be on your guard. Check what leaders say about Jesus against his word. A warning from Jesus. But then also, there is a promise. There is a promise from Jesus. Let's read those verses again, verses 9 and 10. Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they might have life and have it abundantly. Verse 9, Jesus says, I am the door. I am the gate. What is the way into God's forever family? It's through Jesus. It's through him and his death for us and his life for us. He is the way of peace with God. He is the way of making mediation with God. He is the way to God. He's the way to finding true purpose in this world that he's made for us. He is the way. It's through Jesus. I am the gate, he says. Look no further. I'm the one you need to come to. Trust me. Follow me. And the wonderful thing is this. Do you see that in verse 9? I am the door. If anyone enters by me, anyone, it's open to all people, whoever. Whatever we've done, whatever our past, whatever our background, whatever our culture or ethnicity or bank account details, whoever we are, wherever we live, come. That's what Jesus says. Whoever you are, you can come. It's wonderful, isn't it? Often we think with God, it's about me mustering enough goodness. Will I be good enough for God? That's not how it is. It's not about how good we are or how much we know or don't know. It's about trusting in the gate. It's by trusting in Jesus and saying, Lord Jesus, you've made the way through your death. You are the way. You've opened the door for me to enter into knowing you and getting to heaven through what you've done. And as we'll see next week, verse 11, we see that Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep to enter into his presence and heaven. What a saviour we have. What a saviour we have. He's made the way for all of us. Anyone. Come to me, he says, and you'll be saved from eternal judgment and condemnation that your sins deserve. Enter through the door, mark Jesus, and you will be saved. Saved for eternity. The new heaven and new earth forever. But also, it's not just saved for the future, it's salvation now. It's a now thing, knowing Jesus and trusting in the door. It's not just an exit out into the new heaven and new earth. It is actually about entering into life now, entering into the sheepfold now, being part of the people of God. As Jesus says, verse 10, I come that you might have life and have it abundantly, abundant life now, life to the full now. People say, don't they, that Christians are grey and dull and boring, and maybe you are. But imagine what you were like before you became a Christian, even more dull and boring. But the bottom line is actually, the truth is this, that when Jesus comes into our life, he gives us life to the full. He gives us a new start. He gives us forgiveness and grace and mercy. And actually, the Bible says he's planned great things for you to do for him. God has planned good things for you to do that will bless others and your life. Past forgiven, past put behind us. Life to be lived now for Jesus until he comes back. Heaven assured, confident, but life now knowing God as Father. What a joy. I can speak to God as Father. He is with me, he never leaves me. What a joy to know his spirit in my heart, never alone. Think of those Christians around the world locked up today for following Jesus. They're not alone. God is with them. Maybe the sufferings you're facing right now, you feel so alone. You're not alone if you know Christ. He's with you in your sufferings. He's given you grace sufficient for each day. Wonderful, real experience of the Lord, his spirit in us. And Jesus, our great friend and brother, who prays for us, intercedes for us in heaven. What a privilege. He's come to give us life now. Life was created to know God. And Jesus is the gate to that. If you miss that, you miss out on life. And I love the picture of this life that Jesus paints in verse 9. At the end of verse 9, he talks about these sheep going in and out, finding pasture. That's a picture of God's people. Just think what a great day looks like for a sheep. I mean, imagine that. I was brought up with many sheep in Wales. We were surrounded by sheep. In the Lake District, when we were in Keswick, there's sheep everywhere. Well, just imagine, what does a great day for a sheep look like? It's a day of luscious green grass, isn't it? Eating that to their heart's content and kept safe by the shepherd. That is a great day for a sheep. For a sheep, grass in field, looked after by a shepherd. Well, quite frankly, it's like heaven on earth for them, isn't it? They're just so happy. How much more for the people of God, now and forever? The person who has come to Jesus the gate, the way of salvation, well, they can say and sing with Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, for he is with me. That's what we can say if we're trusting Jesus the gate. What a privilege. What a life. What a joy. We know that life is full of ups and downs and joys and sorrows and difficulty and hardship. That's just life, isn't it? But to have the Lord with us, to have Jesus with us, there's nothing better than that. To come to Jesus the gate and to know you're going to be saved forever and have the Lord with you now is the greatest gift. That is life, to know God and his son Jesus Christ. And it starts now and it goes on and on and on and on. And on. What a promise from Jesus. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. You will be saved for heaven and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Maybe today is the day when you need to come for the first time to Jesus, the gate. He says, I am the gate. Come to me, trust me, bring all the stuff in your life, all the things that hold you back, all your sins, your past, and come to me and I'll pay for them and you're forgiven and I'll be your God and you'll be mine and I will love you and save you and bless you. Come to me, trust me. The door is wide open today. The gate is open. Come to Jesus. Or maybe today you're kind of downhearted as a Christian. Life is tough and you need encouragement that actually is ours to be found today. This assurance, this confidence that come what may, I belong to Jesus. He is mine. I'm trusting him and he has given me his presence and his life that lasts forever. I'm saved through the gate of Jesus. I'm not to be condemned by my failings and sinfulness. I'm saved through the gate, Jesus. And that's a wonderful comfort and strength. Loved by Jesus, kept by Jesus, forever the gate. Or maybe this morning we also need that warning and reminded that not all who speak in the name of Jesus are leading us to Jesus. Be warned. A warning and a promise. Well, let me pray that God's word would go into our hearts and bring life and comfort to us all. Let me pray. Praise you, Father, for this amazing passage. And we thank you for the words of Jesus, that he's so straight and honest, that we can trust what he says. Thank that he is the gate, the way of salvation, that he is the way to life abundantly. Pray we would know that abundant life today, that we'll be assured of your love and your presence and your hope, whatever we face. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.